Welcome to Common Salvation, the sermons and other thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
This sermon was preached October 28th and 29th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hoxie, Kansas, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby, Kansas. The text was John chapter 8, 31 through 36. Let's listen in. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite movies of all time is the movie Braveheart. For those who have not seen it, it is that Hollywood retelling of the story of William Wallace, a 13th century landowner who was instrumental in bringing freedom to the Scottish people. The movie is filled with many dramatic scenes, but nothing is more gripping than the final scene of the movie. In this scene, William Wallace is stretched out on a medieval torture device often called the rack. He is being tortured in a slow and deliberate way. As the torture has about come to its intended deadly end, Wallace takes one exasperated breath and yells out one last word with great passion. "Freedom!" he yells. Soon the executioner swings his axe and Wallace's head falls from his body. It seems odd, doesn't it? Why would a man cry out freedom as he is dying? What good is freedom to one who dies? Well, the gospel reading assigned for this day, our celebration of Reformation Day, is all about freedom as well. This is the day that we celebrate the way that God used men like Martin Luther to restore to the church the simple and comforting truth of the gospel. Martin Luther, growing up inside the Roman Catholic Church of his day, certainly did not often feel free. Much to the contrary, he was sort of constantly aware of how bound he was. The church of his day laid on him and all the other many people many burdens through their teaching. Some of these burdens were valid biblically, and others were just creations of the church at that time. They officially taught people that their assurance of salvation rested on a combination of what Jesus had done and what they did. And truth be told, they hardly ever focused on the first part in those days. They mostly told people of all that they had better do to avoid the fires of hell. And that left the average person believing it was their good works and their good works alone that could save them, or their lack of them that would condemn them. Luther lived in this bondage every day, having a very tender conscience. He wanted to be free, but he could not escape one simple fact. He knew his sins all too well. He knew he could not live up to the holy standards of a perfect God. He knew that he would never be free if it were just up to him. He did everything he could think of to become more holy. He prayed for hour upon hour. He denied his body food and gave it beatings instead. He even joined the monastery, believing that that might be the key to finally achieving holiness. But no matter what he did, he could not get free. He was terrified that he would be bound away from God forever in hell. He believed his eternal fate rested on the purity of his living, and he knew that his living was not what it should be. And so he feared he would never be free. And then as a monk, Martin started devouring the Holy Scriptures, and there he found words that did not seem to match what he was hearing from the pulpits of his day. The Scriptures, rather than saying that freedom was wrapped up in what he did, said it was wrapped up solely in what Jesus had done. Just imagine Luther reading our text for the day in his day. For our text is all about the true freedom that is found in Christ alone. The Pharisees, which Jesus was speaking with, had convinced themselves somehow that they were free, despite the fact that even in that moment they lived under the rule of Rome and had many times before lived under the hand of other rulers. They believed somehow that their very birth as descendants of Abraham guaranteed their constant freedom. They also believed that their strict adherence to the law assured that they would always be free. But Jesus cast all that thinking to the wind with just a few sentences of truth. Well, he didn't mention Rome. He mentioned a much more cruel oppressor. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Yes, the Pharisees were not free of sin, and therefore they were slaves. Their lineage could not free them from that bondage. The outward adherence that they had to the law could not do it either. There was only one way to be set free, only through the Son, only through Jesus, only then could one be free. To many of the Pharisees, this did not enter their ears as the good news that it truly was, because they refused to consider the freedom Jesus came to give, for they did not believe they were bound. They just continued to argue with Jesus, and people who think that they are not bound, of course, do not rejoice when one offers them freedom. Martin Luther was sort of the exact opposite of the Pharisees. He knew all too well that he was bound. And so when he read passages like the one we just read, he was overwhelmed with relief and joy. He could hardly believe how good the news was. His freedom, he learned, did not depend upon his living, but upon Jesus' living, dying, and rising. By abiding in Jesus' word, he was set free forever. He was, by grace, a son in the house of his heavenly Father, and would remain forever. It was as if Jesus, when stretched out upon the Roman torture device called the cross, took a loud breath and yelled out freedom. For that is what he was doing there. He was freeing all people from their bondage to slavery. He did yell out, "It is finished," to make clear that sin had been conquered through his death. In his death and subsequent resurrection, all those enslaved to sin were set free. This is the truth that Luther found throughout the scriptures, and it was this truth that set him free. It set him free from his sins and their guilt. It also set him free to boldly proclaim such truth in every place he went and in every way that he could. Today, again, this truth goes out over the radio. It finds its way to your ears. The question is, quite frankly, this: do you care about it or not? That largely depends on how you view yourself right now. Do you recognize that you are enslaved to sin apart from Christ? Or do you think you have everything more or less under control and are free in and of yourself to just go about being a good person? If you do not know that you are bound apart from Christ, the news that Jesus can set you free will probably simply fly right over your head today. You will listen and not be changed. You'll continue to think you're doing just fine. You will remain in denial about how you have subjected yourself once again to the slavery of sin. But if you truly mean it when you confess that your sins mean that you are a poor, miserable sinner, if you understand what a wretch you truly are without Jesus, if you want to be free and yet know just how bound you are apart from him, well, then this message will bring you great relief and joy. It is life-changing news. You were a slave, and now you are a son. And because you are a son, you will remain in your Father's house forevermore. So today, we hear Jesus cry out from the cross, freedom. He cries out not for himself, but for you, for he has set you free by his dying. And this victorious battle cry issued forth in the face of death is the refrain of grace that is sung time and time again in your life. When you first heard the gospel, freedom was the chorus of that song. When you were baptized, freedom again was the cry. Each time you hear of your sins being forgiven by your pastor, freedom sounds forth again. And each time you gather at our Lord's altar, believing that he forgives you of your sins there, one more time again, it rings in your ears, freedom. To all those enslaved to sin, freedom comes through Jesus' dying. And if he sets you free, you are free indeed. William Wallace, as I mentioned, was beheaded shortly after crying out freedom. But as the movie notes in the epilogue, the Scottish people did end up free. His life and death played a critical role, but his death only impacted a certain group of people for a certain time. How much more should we be in awe of the one who brings freedom to all people for all time? His life and his death have set us free. And so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You will remain in his house forever. Hallelujah and amen.